Let us turn our Bibles to Psalm chapter 37, verse 5. Psalm chapter 37, verse 5. I will read it to you in English. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. As I was praying what to speak this Sunday morning, the Lord gave me this verse to speak, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. At the outset, I would like to acknowledge the pastors who are here, Joy Pastor and Joseph Pastor also here. And also, on Friday, we heard about the name of Jesus, how powerful the name of Jesus is. Yesterday, we heard a message saying how hallowed is his name, how we should give reverence to the Lord. Today, the word of the Lord is, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. This is a very familiar verse. Many of the young people know this verse. Am I right? Commit your way to the Lord. So the Bible teaches us that if you want to bring it to pass, or if God wants the things to bring it to pass, what you should do? Two things you should do here. What does the Bible say, young people? What does the Bible say? Two things. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. When you commit your way to the Lord, and when you trust also in him, what will happen? He will bring it to pass. It is not that you bring it to pass. Many times, you know, in this world when you live, there is a lot of people who use the Bible for positive thinking. You have many books which have been written by psychologists about positive thinking. But positive thinking is you working hard, relying on yourself, and you working hard to bring it to pass. But the Bible doesn't teach us that way. The Bible teaches us is commit your way to the Lord. Whatever is your way, whatever is your problem, you bring it to the Lord. And what you should do? You should trust also in him. When you commit, the problem that we have is we do go and commit it sometimes. And then we take off all the burden once again and we try to do our own way. We try to work out. Many a times we try to help God. We try to find out solutions how God can work. Every one of us do this. We try to say, my life is in you, Lord. And then we sit and plan how that we could solve this problem. For instance, you are at a crossroad, not knowing what to do, you will commit your way first. You will say, Lord, help me. And then what you do, you try to figure out the way to do it. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us when you commit your way to the Lord, you should trust in him. You trust also in him. That means you should not be leaning to your own understanding. You must not be leaning to your own strength. And you must not be leaning to your own abilities, but rather trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Who will bring it to pass? God will bring it to pass. In this Christian life, when you have started, there are many, many struggles. When I was meditating these words, the Lord led me to a passage in Ephesians. When we read Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible saying, he will bring it to pass is what I'm going to speak. Why does God need to bring it to pass? Why is God have to be involved in our lives? When the Holy Spirit gave me some thoughts that I am going to share with you, Why does God has to be in control of our life? Why God has to bring it to pass? When you read here, today I'm going to talk more from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. But what does the Bible, I'm not going to read everything, I'm going to say four reasons why God will bring it to pass. So today, if you are confused, if you do not know what will happen, the Bible is assuring us, commit your way to the Lord. So in this message, there is a spiritual aspect, which I'm going to emphasize more, and there's a physical aspect too. So the spiritual aspect is what the Lord led me to speak, so that is why I'm going to speak there. Why does God have to bring it to pass? The third verse in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says like this, we are blessed people. Why we are blessed people? We are blessed because He has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus is where our blessing is. Hallelujah. When you want God to work in your life, what you should do is your blessing is only in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Your blessing is not outside of Christ Jesus. So you should be happy. Why should you be happy? Because you and I are blessed people. That's what the Bible teaches us. There are four things when you read this. You can see why we are blessed or why God should bring it to pass. Four reasons you can see. The first one you can see in verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him. In Him, in Jesus Christ, you and I are chosen. Hallelujah. Can you imagine this? Even before, you can only think with your mind till from where you are born. Or we have memories only when we are maybe 5 years old. But here the Bible says in Him we are chosen. Why should He bring it to pass? Because you and I are chosen by God. And how has He chosen us? Before the foundations of the world. Before the foundation of the world was there, He chose us. Why did He choose us? The answer is there. If you really pay attention to the Word of God, to read the Bible, to be holy and blameless before Him. To be holy and blameless is why God chose us. Hallelujah. There is no compromise on holiness. Why did God choose us? He chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame. Why this is? Because God is holy. As I said yesterday, I'm not going to touch more. God is holy. God cannot change. And God always wants holiness. That is why He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame. So how should you and I be before God? If you want God to bring it to pass of your matter, you should be holy and blameless in front of God. You cannot live as you want because you are chosen by God. You are not an ordinary person. You are not a person like in the world. The Bible says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a separated nation we are. So you have to understand that all the things that the world does is not what is meant for you. You and I are chosen by God. So that is when we understand that we are chosen by God, we will be able to acknowledge the presence of God and allow God to work in our life. Hallelujah. The next thing what you can see is in the fifth verse, the second reason why God should work in our life. The Bible says like this, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. In other words, why God has to work in us? God works in us because he predestined us to adoption. What does this mean? God, who created us with a plan and a purpose, but because of our sinful nature, because of our nature, we went away from God. But what did God do? He predestined us. In him there is a predestination, or predestined us to be adopted. To be adopted as whom? As his children. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? You and I are ones who are away from God. When you read Ephesians, the book of Ephesians writes it very clear. It says how we were. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, it says, we were dead in trespasses. We were dead in sins, it says. If you read it more carefully, you can understand the state that we were in, or we were. Or some of you are currently there too. How is that? We walked according to the course of this world. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2 is what I'm saying. We walked according to the course of this world. We according to the prince of the power of the air. We were working as sons of disobedience. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? When God saw all these things, we who were walking dead in trespasses and sins, we were walked according to the course of the world, we were walking according to the prince of the air, we were sons of disobedience. And what the Bible says, we conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh. We were children of wrath. In other words, there is no way that God could save such a people. But what did God do? God, instead of having the natural branches, God cut off the natural branches so that you and I, who are unworthy, could be grafted in. That's what in Romans chapter 11 it says. You and I, who is unworthy, can be grafted inside. And God did that. God literally did that. He cut off the holy people of Israel. God cut them off. And God grafted us, who are unworthy, who was not worthy to come to the presence of God. He took us out from that and adopted us. Hallelujah. He adopted us as his children. The great God, the Creator, who is holy, who wanted to be holy and blameless. Just imagine how much he did for us today. That is why he says he will bring it to pass. In this Christian walk, when he says that he will bring it to pass, it means that he took so much pain of cutting off the natural branches. It was not easy for him, because he was the one who grew up that tree. He was the one who nourished that tree. And it was painful for him to cut off the natural branches. But cutting off the natural branches, he grafted an unworthy persons like you and me, has adopted us as his sons and his daughters. And what does he say? Yet to all who received him, who believed in his name, John chapter 1 verse 12, he gave them the right to become children of God. He gave us the right to become God's children. Hallelujah. These are children who are not born of the flesh, nor born of the blood. They are not born of the will of a man, but they are born of God. Hallelujah. That is why God will bring it to pass, because we are predestined as to be adopted as his sons. Today, when we commit ourselves, you must understand the great work that God has done. This is not an easy task to understand. It will take a lifetime. We may not, even after being many years of Christians, you may not understand the depth of the salvation, the price that is paid on. That is why God is reminding us today, He cut off the natural branches and grafted you and me in it. The Bible also says like this, in the seventh verse when we read, in Him we have redemption through His blood. The next thing why God should be, when we commit our ways to God, why God should do is because there is redemption through the blood. Hallelujah. Today we sang, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The redemption is only through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I explained to you how we were once we were, but the price which was paid on it is so great that redemption had to be only through the blood. Some of you, if you go outside and ask the Muslim world, they would say, would God die? Can God die? That is a question they ask us. They will ask you, your God died for you? How is it possible? But we understand the price that God paid, because you and I are chosen. You and I, He wanted us to be adopted as sons and daughters. That is why He paid the price. He left all the glory from heaven. He came down on this earth and died on the cross, which is the one of the worst punishments. He took it. Why did He take it? He took it so that he who can be redeemed from slavery, you can be redeemed and you can come out of that. Today, Many a times we trample the blood of Christ. We trample this great price that God has given. We take it for granted that God, what God has done, and we walk in our own ways. Today the Holy Spirit wants to remind each and every one of us the price that He paid on the cross. It was not an easy death. He left all the glory above. He left everything above. Came down for us to restore us, to redeem us, to bring us out of slavery of sin, so that you and I can enjoy this fellowship. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says? On the cross of Calvary, He says like this, He is despised and rejected by men. On the cross, when He was there, there was nothing worthy to love Him there. People there hid their faces. They were not willing to even see the lashes that He got. The price that He paid was so much it was. It was, we cannot even compare the agony, the pain that He went through on the cross. And the Bible says like this, we hid our faces. People hid their faces from them. Some of them, what they did? They mocked at Him. They said, He was stricken, He was smitten, He was afflicted by God. They were saying, oh, this is a right punishment. But what does the Bible says? He has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. He took our griefs. All the griefs that we have to go, all our sorrows was taken on the cross of Calvary. So that is why we are here saying, you can commit your way to the Lord. He paid a price for you. It is not simply we are saying here, oh, without a price, no. He paid a big, big price. That is why it says, He was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised for our transgression. Just imagine, wounded and bruised. Why? For the sins of this world, for your sins, for my sins, who are alienated from Christ, who are away from Christ, who did not deserve to be there. The great God, the creator of heavens and earth, the one who made everything, is sacrificing himself. How much should a heart bubble today? How much should a heart be filled with joy? Our heart should really, really bubble with joy when we think about the redemption through the blood. But today, only through his blood, there is forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Some of them, what do you do? So, just imagine, there is no example which can come close to this. But however, let me just say, if you have a bank check of $100,000, and if you keep it in your shelf there, you will never get that money. That money will never be useful to you. But when will that money be useful to you? Only when you take that check and deposit. Similarly, Christ paid the price on the cross of Calvary. This cannot be compared as an example. But I'm just saying, Christ died and paid the price on the cross of Calvary. There is redemption which is available for you. There is forgiveness of sins that is available for you. But unless you apply it in your life, it will make no sense to you. That is why the Bible says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. But to those who believe, it is the power of God. It is God's power for us. When you believe in the gospel, when you believe in this blood, in the forgiveness of blood, it is a power of God. Hallelujah. In him we have redemption. In him we have forgiveness of sins. Why? It is because it shows, the Bible says there, when you read there carefully, it is the riches of his grace. It is not because of our works. It is not because of anything that we do. It is the riches of his grace. Today, how much great his grace is. Even after becoming believers, how many times we go astray. How many times we go in our own ways, thinking that that is better. But you should understand, the forgiveness of sin is because of the riches of his grace. And it is his grace that has been allowing us to survive. It is his grace that is being bringing us back to the fold. Even though we go astray, even though we go away from God, it is his grace. That is why the forgiveness of sins, it writes there, the riches, according the seventh verse, according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. Sometimes we all read it in a hurry. We would not know the depth of this meaning. The God's grace is so rich that even though after coming to Christ, we go away, his grace is still following us, telling us, come to the path, come to the right path. Remember the price that I have paid. Today he's reminding you, remember that the price that God has paid on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. And this adoption, hallelujah, the forgiveness of sin is applicable to everyone as long as they make use of it. If you do not make use of it, it is not going to have an effect. You want to say, Lord, I commit my way to the Lord. I want to trust in him. But if he has to bring it to pass, you can only say that only if you are blessed in the Lord. Because in him we have redemption. Lastly, I would like to say one more point and conclude. In the 11th verse, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. Hallelujah. Four things we saw today. Why we are blessed? Why does God have to do? Because in him we are chosen. In him he predestined us to adoption. In him there is redemption. And in him we have an inheritance. Hallelujah. When God brought us to this, God, we have started a race for us. And the beauty of that race is, it doesn't end one day. It ends with an inheritance that is being in store for us. We have an inheritance. What is that? Let me explain to you. The best example is this. Okay? I think this is a good example. When the current king of King Charles, the headlines of an article which said he was jobless for 73 years because he couldn't become the king. He became the king only when Queen Elizabeth died. And when Queen Elizabeth died, he is the king of England. Similarly, you and I, so within the 73 years, he did not leave his royal title and go and do anything he wants. He was still a prince. He acted like a prince because he knew in his heart he is going to be the future king. He knew in his heart 73 years, very old, he waited a long time, okay? He was waiting, this is a true example for in our lifetime, okay? So he waited so many years so that he could become king. But within that period, if you see, he did not leave his royal titles. He behaved like a prince. He behaved. Even now, you can see the next person in their hair, Prince Andrew, I think, if I'm not wrong. He's behaving like the next future king. But we do not know how many years he has to wait. But that is not our subject anyhow. So he had to wait so many years. He behaved. Similarly, God has given us an inheritance. So we and I should prepare ourselves to receive that inheritance. That is my point. You and I should prepare ourselves so that we receive that inheritance. The promised land, that is, being with Jesus, being in heaven with him, that is the inheritance that God has promised. The Bible does speak about the inheriting the crown of life. I don't want to go through the verses because of the lack of time. The crown of life is an inheritance that is waiting for us. In James chapter 1 verse 12 you can see. In Revelation chapter 2 verse 10 you can see. Where the Bible says that God has kept us an inheritance. And what? This inheritance God has given to us. What is the assurance of that? Anybody? What is the assurance that of the inheritance? What is the assurance? The Bible says in verse 14, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14, let me read it. If you read 13 and 14, it's more understandable. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So here, what is the guarantee of this inheritance? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that God has given us is an assurance that we have an inheritance. If somebody says, I don't see that inheritance, I don't see the crown of life, I don't see the kingdom of heaven, the Holy Spirit in you, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit that was given inside you is an assurance for that. Hallelujah. An assurance that our inheritance is for sure. So what should we do? What does the Bible says? In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1, it says like this. You and I should be, let us just read that verse. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. Yes, so that's a promise of entering his rest remains. We have an inheritance. We have a promise. We have things which is God has kept for us. But what we should do? Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. The Bible is asking us, remember, he will bring it to pass. But remember, you can still fall short of that inheritance. In him we have an inheritance, but we have to be careful. We have to be fearful in this Christian life that God has given to us. You and I have to be very, very careful and fearful before God and run this race so that we may have that inheritance. One day we will have the crown of life. One day we will receive that blessings of being with Jesus. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible says like this: commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. He will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Today, if you are hearing this message, commit whatever you have in your hands to Him. He will bring it to pass, because in Him we are chosen. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessings. He has blessed us and led us. In Him we are chosen. In Him we are being predestined to adoption. In Him we have redemption. In Him we have an inheritance, an inheritance that no one can acquire, and it is an inheritance that each one of us have to work for. May the good Lord bless you with these words.